Herein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Perus. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. The countdown, this is 10 years and 2 days into this program.
Whoa.
And it's the first Tuesday of the month, which means I have...
Jen Newhouse.
And Wayne Heimer.
Of...
The Laundry House Gang.
Well, I'm going to call you the Laundry House Pair today. Because the gang is all over the place. You know, you got Al, who's at...
Board of Game.
Board of Game. Craig, who's on his way to Mexico. Mike, who's just disappeared.
Yeah. I'm at the Bison Working Group today.
Yeah. Karen, who's with us sometimes, she's probably in Panama. But hey, thank you both for being here and being available. And let's enjoy our show. Jen Newhouse.
Yes, David Perus.
Did any of your grouse or ptarmigan get stolen on Thanksgiving?
Well, you told me that you weren't out there.
So basically, I failed in my November endeavor of getting out and acquiring your cooked birds.
You know, we should do that for one of the foodies. I should make some wild game hens from our local flats, and we should do that for a foodies.
I like how you think.
Have you followed up with Alan and Peterson yet?
No, I've not been in there.
Let's do that.
We should do that.
They should be a sponsor for Fairbanks Foodies. Our kickoff could be local food, local grouse.
Well, I have a question about grouse.
They're not squirrels.
Well, that's probably why I have a question. But it's been my observation that rough grouse are good anytime. You can get them. Spruce grouse are good till it freezes and they begin to eat spruce needles, in which case they taste like spruce needles.
Well, I've got some tricks
for that.
I do have a cure for that, and it's rosemary. So
who is she?
That's my plant that's growing on my table. And so we take fresh rosemary. I tend to do the winter spruce grouse in like a gravy with mushrooms. If we have local mushrooms, that's wonderful. But I like buying the brown mushrooms at the store instead of the white button mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
But if we've got locals and we've got some morels left over and some chanterelles are really wonderful. A mushroom mix is great. And I do them almost like a stroganoff type thing. I like it better over rice than noodles. But I do a crock pot thing where I go ahead and take the spruce grouse and make little medallions, and then you sear them with, and you, the thing is, you can't over season them so it's just seasoning, but if there's rosemary in there with a little bit of garlic, a little bit of onion, and then you saute the mushrooms. I do it this way because it gets that, it's not a Fairbanks Foodies show, but here we are. I don't like to just throw the mushrooms in there and then let them cook in the crock pot like some people do. I braise the meat and then I saute the mushrooms until they're dry. So they've,
mm-hmm.
So they've got that little bit of
crisp
umami flavor on the outside, right? And they've soaked up all the butter and everything's evaporated. Then I put all of that into the crock pot with fresh rosemary, black pepper, and then little bit of sweet vermouth, which is a trick that I learned from a trapper down in Juneau one year. And I used to use a dry sherry or a cream sherry, and he's like, have you tried a sweet vermouth? And it really is different. And so I do that in a gravy, add a little bit of, don't want it too thick because you still want it, so you add the juices and stuff, and then you only let those be in there, but it has a heavier rosemary taste, and it actually, it doesn't overpower it, but it kind of it's okay that they have that spruce taste. Anyway, so much about food and grouse today.
That's a lot of touching your food before you eat it.
It is. It's with love.
So you were mentioning the bison working group?
Yep, I am over at the Westmark for today and the next 2 days with the Wood Bison Restoration Working Group. So we have several agencies, many tribes. We just had a very nice remembrance by Paul Williams Jr. From Beaver, Alaska, for his father, Paul Williams Sr., who had been involved in the project since the 60s, trying to repatriate these bison. And most people know about the project that we finally changed the Endangered Species Act, 10J and 4D rule, and we were able to introduce them. And we had a meeting with the governor last Saturday where we talked a little bit more, and Doug Vincent Lang, the commissioner of Fish and Game, let us know, we're still getting the 50 a year from Canada to import and release. And so this working group is with all of the stakeholders that we can identify. And we found a few groups that hadn't been invited that we thought needed to be invited. I'm representing the Northern Region Safari Club International SCI chapter that we're just getting up and going, just got our logo approved, don't have, a lot out there in the media yet, because...
I'm a member.
He is, yes. You're one of our 10 so far founding members.
Mm-hmm.
Most everyone is already a life member and a member of the Alaska chapter based in Anchorage, but we're going to have a small local chapter. We aren't going to do the giant banquets and things. We're going to do more of the pint nights, movie nights, things to get out, do some fundraising for, some of the biology projects. Safari Club International SCI really was instrumental in repatriating these bison, both with helping with the Endangered Species Act, which for your listeners right now, you can go online and comment again. The Federal Register, there's 27 days left to comment on the new proposed rules for the ESA. Please comment that we should adopt them. This is helping to remove the unnecessary obstacles and get back to the science of the Endangered Species Act. For so long, you haven't been, of course, conservationists want to reintroduce things that have gone away, and we don't want anything to go extinct and all the rest of that. But the ESA has been unnecessarily weaponized for so many years to impede development, hunting, fishing, trapping, access, even just access across land. And it doesn't need to be that. Real conservation follows the North American model of wildlife conservation, and just comment, please, that we need to adopt these. It's a good start. There will be a second wave where we will hopefully make some more progress. We made some progress 6 years ago, and then that was undone by the previous federal administration. So if we can get it redone, then, maybe we can do something about all those otters in Southeast that are just rampant and impeding the fishing grounds and the cockle beds, as my native elders tell me. There's no more cockles, Jenny.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break, and I have the Laundry House duo, Dr. Wayne, and...
Overly concerned citizen, Jen?
No, I was thinking the smartest purple in the purple padded room, Jen.
The purple people eater?
Purple padded room.
I'll vote for that.
We'll be back after these wonderful commercial messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
This holiday season, Hale & Associates sends warm wishes to you and your family. May your days be filled with joy, love, and cherished moments. Happy holidays from everyone at Hale & Associates.
Hi folks, Click Bishop here. As we celebrate Christmas, I hope you find time to slow down, enjoy family, and appreciate the blessings we share as Alaskans. Merry Christmas, and may the new year bring peace and good fortune to our great state.
Paid for by Click Bishop for Governor. Fairbanks, Alaska, 99709.
Thank you, Fairbanks. Pump Up the Kids Adopt a Family is well underway, and we're so grateful for your amazing support to help provide a memorable Christmas for families in need. If you generously picked up a gift tag or adopted a family from the radio station, our gift drop-off location is now open. You can bring your gifts Monday through Friday from 12 to 6 p.m. at the Cornerstone Mall, 505 Old Steese Highway, right next to Sunfix Tanning, now through December 17th. But we're not done yet. We still need adopters and are in need of stocking stuffers. We still have gift tags for pickup and are also looking for gift cards for stores like Fred Meyer, Walmart, Costco, or any other gift card that can make a difference this holiday season. Stop by Monday through Friday, 12 to 6 at Cornerstone Mall through December 17th. Thank you, Fairbanks. A special thank you goes to Lotto Alaska and the members of the Napa Auto Care Group like Frontline Automotive, Gabe's Truck and Auto, plus McKinley Orthopedic Sports Medicine and Spine, Kumon, and Samard Automotive.
Hey, Fairbanks, Les Nichols with Fairbanks Nissan. Every year, Fairbanks Nissan becomes home base for Santa's Helpers Alaska. Santa's Helpers brings Christmas to hundreds of families in need in our community each Christmas season, and we want you to join us in supporting them. You can be one of Santa's Helpers this Christmas by donating unopened toys, gift cards, or books. Monetary donations are needed to help purchase food for each family, and volunteers are needed to help sort and bag gifts. Businesses that want to help can sponsor food boxes for a family for just $150, and that family will get food for 2 weeks and a Christmas card from your organization. You can nominate, volunteer, or give by coming to Fairbanks Nissan in South Cushman or online at santashelpersalaska.com. That's santashelpersalaska.com.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
A winter weather advisory continues until 3 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. A mixture of freezing rain and snow likely today, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Highs level off around 26, north winds around 5 miles an hour. 2 to 4 inches of snow today through tomorrow night. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back in here with Wayne Heimer, Jen Uhas, enjoying ourselves. And Jen, you were talking about the Bising Working Group.
Yes, and I enjoyed Wayne's anecdotal story here from his own real life experience while we were at break.
It's what you don't hear on break is won't get us cut. The FCC will not be investigating us.
Clean that up a little.
he did clean it up. The bottom line was
barely.
Don't let the biologists out in the wild. Keep them at their desks.
Yeah, and and when they got to go, they go.
Yeah, we have a real ample participation over there at the Bison Restoration Working Group, and we've got a Zoom link, and so the department, if folks are interested, the department can probably hook them up with that. We've also got Congressional Sportsmen's Foundation is attending, and we've got a representative for the Congressional Sportsmen's Foundation here in Alaska is Marie Neumiller. She's got the whole West Coast, as her predecessor, Keely Hopkins, did. Keely's now doing policy for, she's still representing the Pacific Northwest and Alaska at Safari Club International, and she's just a real good legal eagle there, real good advocate, and they are spending a lot of time focusing on Alaska issues to assist us.
Wayne, you were talking about management practices, and sometimes they're not the best.
Sometimes not. I've been worrying, which is sort of what I do for a living, about how it is things have come to be. And going back as far as the early 70s, when I was a boy biologist, management planning was the thing. It was the up-and-coming thing, and we were making management plans for this and that. And we made them, and there were goals, and they were set. And for some reason, they were approved by the Board of Game, which really shouldn't be involved in that. But they were, and they've kind of become the go-to litmus test of what may or may not be achievable management-wise because of management plans, which were arbitrary when they were made up. And I've lately am dealing with the notion in my head that, why do we plan in the first place? Well, we're trying to control the future. That's why we make a plan.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to control the future of wildlife management when it's going to change. The weather's going to change. The habitat's going to change. Harvest patterns are going to change. Predation patterns are going to come and go. And I'm thinking, boy, we were pretty arrogant back in the day when we said, we'll make a plan for how things shall be. And I don't like it anymore.
I wouldn't say arrogant. I would think the more term would be you didn't know. You were
ignorant.
Inexperienced. Yeah. Ignorant, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a lot better.
Yeah.
I want to give my friend Wayne here some reference to be able to relax in the fact that you made a plan. I mean, I know that you're a praying person, and Proverbs 16:9 says the mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. You're still supposed to make a plan, but you're going to be directed later by things that change.
Well, the
Patton was always adaptable with his plans.
The current the concern I have is that the management plans have become a kind of straitjacket and a box in which we have to think before we consider what's really going on.
So they don't make them adaptable.
Yeah, and there's recipes for review and whatever, and they often get overlooked. And, you know, going way back to when we began to management plan, we didn't plan for the future. We planned for what was going on, like we could maintain it forever.
I see your point. You know, when we do emergency management planning, as David probably knows, you know, you plan for it because you have to have a plan, but we have to adjust on the ground. Mm-hmm. You know, what if we had less resources than we thought we had and they're not available? What if we had more? What if the fire changed direction? We adapt the plan on the spot.
Yeah, the if there's a set of management plans that I think may be functional, it would be the doll sheep management plans. Quite a
who,
shock
who
there,
those?
I'm sure.
Who wrote that?
I did.
Well, we didn't know that. Did you know that, Jen?
I the things
could you
I
have
learned,
conceived
the things
that?
Inconceivable.
Inconceivable.
Well, the way it happened was those plans are unique in that rather than having population objectives and harvest objectives and sex ratios and all the things that are standard management planning components. When we looked at that, and I wasn't the only one, I had many nefarious partners, we said, we can't control any of that. So what if we plan to manage for the types of human experience that users would like to have?
Oh, no, now he sounds like the Park Service.
Well, we were first.
Actually, it sounds like he's been listening to the Grateful Dead. He's on a good drug.
What a long, strange trip.
Yeah.
You know, we ask folks what they wanted to, what they would like the future of doll sheep hunting to be. Mm. And they didn't say, I want a, you know, a ram ewe ratio of such and such. They said, I would like the opportunity to go every year. So it's okay, we'll plan for that.
You know something? I got to go completely off the course here. I saw you both Saturday night. Where did I see you at?
You saw us at the Tomaszewski.
Mike Sampson's house. And what was in that house?
The Samsonian.
Yeah. Was it? I had both of you in there. And I blew it because I now thinking about it, I would want you two to walk me around and say, this is what this is. The sheep up here, the sheep, the different sheep that were up there. I had the expert in the room and didn't even think of it.
I asked Wayne, what is that curly one?
Yeah, I had one of the founders of the Safari Club International North in the room. And what she could have told me about the mounts and that,
she ought to know
blew
Africa.
It.
Yeah.
I don't know Africa.
Upon reflection, I blew it for my own personal knowledge.
Well, you can go back.
I intend to make sure I find you two at another event there.
I adapted. I went in there.
Okay.
I was
okay. What type of sheep did you see in there?
Well, I just saw the doll sheep and went and stood by it because I was safe. That's
you're being a jerk.
Well, actually, that's an adaptive strategy.
Yeah.
But
it
was stunning. I mean, you wouldn't want to walk into that huge, wonderful place in the dark. You could be,
you know, and you know, you had the desert bighorn in there.
Yeah, and he has stone sheep.
Yep.
Bighorns, doll sheep, and desert bighorns.
Yeah,
and
he had the Grand Slam.
The goofy Hawaii sheep.
Yeah, and he had at least one. Jennifer, I was standing by the doll sheep. She said, what is that?
No, I was pointing at the curly one.
Yeah, the curly one, the black and white one with the variegated color.
That was a sable.
And he said, that's domestic.
Says, what is that? I said, I think that's a domestic sheep from Hawaii.
Okay. And then, you know, I was looking at two of them. I knew they were kudus. But was one a greater and one a lesser kudu?
Which one was bigger?
Well, there one was bigger. Yeah,
that'd be the greater.
But I don't think that's what it is.
I want a blue one. They make them in blue.
Yeah, and so, but I had you two in the room, upon reflection, and I blew it.
No, really, the person that you want to walk you around that room is Mike.
Yeah,
because you know.
But then, if I would have had you two walk me around, I could have went up to Mike and said, "Ah." Well, you know, have a little bit of knowledge that he could just sort of pout around.
Well, Trek Taylor called it the Samsonian Northern Alaska Natural History Museum.
Yeah.
It's
first of all, it's beautiful.
It's stunning, and I like you, wanted to walk around there with Mike, because there's got to be a story with every one of those.
Exactly.
And, some of them are just jaw-droppingly amazing.
You know where you can hear some good stories tonight would be at the Dog Mushers Association. There's for a measly donation, pitch in $5 and have some dinner, and we'll all sit around and chat up at the Dog Mushers Hall for the Alaska Trappers Association meeting. It is the monthly meeting. They only meet in the wintertime here, and there will be some real great stories from Sydney, a trapper, who we will, apparently the email said we would watch a video, and here's a picture with David next to
a sable. Yep.
Which
I was going to say oryx, but
the sables are the foundation fundraising portion of SCI that is non-political and contributes all their money to education.
That was my selfie.
It's a good one.
Takes a selfie. The deadhead takes a selfie with a deadhead.
I know. Yeah. But I just thought we're right at the same level here. Click, and yeah. So anyway.
It was stunning. One of the interesting things about that meeting for me was the confidence that the governor displayed about the development of the gas line.
Yeah. And also, Fairbanks, maybe a lesson in this is when you have exceptional people in a room, take advantage of the knowledge and education that they can give you, because I blew it. I had you two in that room. It was a great night, and But I will not ever miss that opportunity again. Hate to give you big heads, but I just think about it. I blew it.
I guess I'm going to have to go look at my picture book of animals of the world then.
Study up. Yeah, hold it. He's an Alaska biologist retired. He'll lie to me and I won't know it.
You don't know what you don't know until you know you don't know it.
I would try not to do that.
So how's that for management practices?
Well, there's whole lot of management been going on in that man's life.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, my goodness.
It is amazing.
But it's interesting. My thought now would be if you could get up the CITES list, polar bear taking, and you run that through a village and give a village, so many per year or so many per decade, that they can take for hunters, or half of the fees go to the state of Alaska to operate the Fish and Game Department, and the other half goes to their village.
So they're governed under the Marine Mammal Act. So
yeah,
that's not
not CITES.
Yeah, well, CITES is federal,
yeah.
And so there wouldn't be an allocation that the state would govern. That's
my thought is
hanging up on polar bears, which are marine animals. You're really talking a bigger notion.
My thought is to get them off the list, make it so they can be harvested.
Oh, okay, yeah. So that goes back to commenting on the ESA.
Yeah. Okay, Fairbanks, we are going to take a commercial break, and I approve this bumper music. It's Aerosmith, Love in an Elevator. And then we're going to go into Fox News, state news, commercials, and weather. And I'm going to leave you with a good amount of Aerosmith.
Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
Fox News, I'm John Zossier, the alleged shooter in the Washington, D.C., who targeted two National Guard troops from West Virginia, is being charged with premeditated first-degree murder, along with a number of other weapons charges. The 29-year-old Afghan national attending the hearing remotely from a hospital bed today. First reported that he seemed to be in pain. His attorney's entering a not guilty plea for him in D.C. Superior Court. The judge has ordered him held in custody while awaiting trial. One of the two National Guard troops has died. The other remains in critical condition, although he did respond to a nurse yesterday. President Trump, holding the ninth cabinet meeting of his second term, talked a little bit about his work on the economy.
Since last January, we've stopped inflation in its tracks. And there's still more to do. There's always more to do, but we have it down to a very good level.
America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Radio Kenai reports responding to ongoing public concerns about corrosion and winter road treatments. The Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities states that it has scaled back and more precisely targeted the use of brine on Kenai Peninsula highways. In recent years, many residents have voiced worries that liquid de-icing solutions contribute to vehicle corrosion and damage to infrastructure. DOT said this winter's approach reflects that feedback. According to the department, brine is now being applied only on select high-speed, high traffic corridors where preventing ice from bonding to the pavement is most critical for safety. Brine can keep packed ice from forming and allows plows to clear roads more effectively during storms. These routes carry faster moving and heavier traffic, so preventing ice buildup is especially important, the department said. All other state-maintained roads on the peninsula will be managed with sanding, plowing, and traditional winter maintenance methods rather than brine. The agency emphasized that public feedback remains a key part of the decision-making process.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
GCR Tires and Service introduces the Cooper Discoverer Stronghold AT All-Terrain All-Season Tire. Lock in control with aggressive tread design that anticipates Alaska's ever-changing roads. Cooper Discoverer Stronghold AT, superior performance on and off the road. On rocks, loose gravel, severe snow, ice, and mud, yet Stronghold AT is quietly responsive on the road as well. Now it's your turn. Buy your Cooper Discoverer Stronghold AT tires at GCR Tires and Service, the Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
As the snow creeps down the mountains and crunches under your boots, Alaska Gear Company only has one question. Are you ready? Introducing the Bunny Boot VBX Lite for those who move fast and travel light. And the Bunny Boot VBX Max, built for the extreme. Gear up right, gear up local. Stop on by Alaska Gear Company, and we'll get you ready for anywhere in any weather.
730 Old Steese Highway in Fairbanks.
Fairbanks, Pike's Landing Bar and Restaurant is back open. After the fire, we are stronger than ever. We want to thank you for all your amazing support as we restored our dining room and remodeled our bathroom. Come experience the iconic Pike's Landing, a true Fairbanks landmark. Dine riverside with the reindeer. Enjoy great food, craft beers, and signature cocktails, and make new memories with family and friends. Pike's Landing Bar and Restaurant reopened, refreshed, and ready to welcome you back. Pike's Landing, where Fairbanks gathers and visitors are welcome.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereaton, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereaton, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Rogers Auto Repair. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. We have in here the Laundry House duo.
Wonder Twin Powers.
Wonder Twin
Activate.
Power. There you go, with Wayne Heimer and Jen Uhas. And Jen, you have some announcements.
Oh, we wanted to congratulate Senator Mike Cronk on the birth of his granddaughter, Ainsley.
Oh, man. And Wayne, do you have any announcements?
No.
Are you announcing a detente with the squirrels?
No. The contest with the squirrels has swung. The equilibrium has swung in my favor lately, and so I'm taking a page from the great Gretzky. You miss all the shots you don't take. And I have found out if I don't run the trap line, I won't catch anything.
You seem more self-assured now.
I've had some training, a little helpful hint here and there.
I'm going to give a shout-out and an announcement, then we'll take a phone call here. And I want to give a shout-out to Andrew Schock, who that's Richard and Elizabeth Schock's son. He just graduated with a Master of Science from Michigan in Aeronautical Engineering.
Congratulations.
I mean, yeah, he'd be the smartest man in the person in the room if I ever walked into it. Ready for a phone call?
Ready.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with the Laundry House Duet, and your name is?
Randy.
Hello, Randy.
Hi there. Earlier you were talking about, you know, management. I think you talked about some of the difficulties, you know, what effect did they have and so forth. And there's management, you know, you're talking maybe about game management, you know, there's fish management, there's management of fires. We have a lot of tools to help us, you know, airplanes to count sheep and airplanes to drop fire retardant and ways of filtering discharge into rivers and so forth. But anyway, I was wondering about previous measures of management that may have happened hundreds of years ago. And the reason I bring it up is because yesterday at the city council meeting, they introduced a land acknowledgement ordinance that we'll be discussing on the next meeting on the 15th of December. And one of the excerpts from the simple short land management, land acknowledgement rather, is we honor the Dana who have been the stewards of interior land and waters for centuries. And it goes on a little bit, but I was wondering, you know, what measures did they, for instance, if they saw a certain game was low in their area where they were doing their hunting, did they try not to hunt so much of that game and go after other game? And and as far as fire, you know, it'd be hard to fight a forest fire. But
Randy, we're going to let Jen jump in on that one real fast.
Well, we do know from talking to people about their traditional knowledge that some of what they did implement was actually igniting fires rather than putting them out for habitat. But there's been a couple of videos I've helped produce where we've interviewed folks who've said that people in my village, them speaking, they said, you know, people in my village know that if you're going to take a moose, you should take a bear, you should take some wolves. And that, you know, constitutes management. And you know, we call it predator management, but, you know, that's from people who don't want us to take any animals and don't want to see us take those animals. You know, it's still management when you're taking one species for food, they're taking another species for fur and warmth and possibly food as well, but also to make sure that those wolves and those bears aren't eating all of the caribou and the other prey.
There's a lot of interesting stuff associated with traditional ecological knowledge, and it's a very touchy business to go into. But I have a story.
Mm-hmm.
Some years ago, there was a meeting of the Federal Subsistence Board Advisory Committee or something about Red Sheep Creek, which is an issue that Jen is close to her heart, either heartburn or other. I don't know which. But
it can go either way real fast.
It's something I worked on.
There was a significant elder person, you know, from a village that was there that explained why it was called Red Sheep Creek and, you know, why the next creek is called Cane Creek and so forth, and what the
incidentally,
relationship
that
of all those
person,
things
though,
were.
When you say significant, it was simply someone who was well known, and they were speaking in an area that they did not grow up and learn in, but they relayed a conversation from a bench outside the meeting. That person was not from that area who
Which
spoke.
Goes to my story. And when this person was asked how she knew what she knew, she alleged that as when she was a child, she had been taken up to Red Sheep Creek and had been there for several days. And I was to speak later, and I said, geez, you know, I've spent weeks in Red Sheep Creek with helicopters and airplanes and radio collars and every other darn thing trying to figure out what's going on with the sheep up there. And my knowledge is insignificant, but her alleged knowledge was highly significant. So the idea of acknowledging those that have come before is a sentimental one that you'd be crazy to speak against. But we have a reverence for those that were here first or before us that seems to have fallen short. I've been here for 58 years and no one cares.
I care. Well, also, I don't know what the conversation was or whatever, but every generation, the game patterns change. What might have been here 30 years ago, 50 years ago, we had caribou up on Chena Ridge. You don't see that anymore.
Or hearing that there's finding seagulls at the headwaters so far inland.
Or she fish in the Chena. Yeah. Things like that. It changes.
The wood, circling back a little bit to the wood bison business, when Bob Stevenson got involved, he did a lot of on-ground stuff and was very good at talking to folks that knew history and compiled an oral history of the local residents and their relationship with bison and took this to the cultural anthropologists at the university, and they said, holy cow, these can't be more than a couple hundred years old. So suddenly the way opens to reestablish, to reintroduce wood bison, not to transplant them in, which was paradoxically okay with the feds.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, how about that?
Some of the other, if we're thinking about management, Randy got me thinking about what are examples. One would be with egg harvest, testimony that, how many eggs you take when you see so many in a nest, and that something that might intuitively seem to be conservation, the thing if you see three eggs, take three, is like, but you're taking all the eggs. But if it's at a certain time in the year, they'll lay more. Mm-hmm. And so they know, we're going to eat the eggs, but we know they'll lay more. And if you see one, leave it because they might not make more. Things like that, or the idea that the seagulls hadn't been at the headwaters before.
True. Ready for a phone call? Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with the Laundry House Gang. And your name is?
This is Charlie.
Hello, Charlie.
One person gang. Hey, what's the name Finhorn sheep have to do with doll sheep and the Fannin sheep? Is there still Fannin sheep in Alaska? Or are they considered part of the Yukon range? Thanks.
The name doll sheep came to us because a fellow named William H. Doll was the guy to first catch some skulls and horns, which he got for Fort Yukon, and mailed them off to the National Museum of Natural History. There, they laid around for 20 years, and eventually somebody got around to cataloging them, and they saw his name on the tag and said, oh, these are doll sheep.
Yeah.
And that name has kind of stuck. It's been revised a little since that time. But I'm uncertain whether Mr. Doll, who was the man, this was about the time that we purchased Alaska from Russia, he was the man on Alaska because he had come here to work on the Russian-American telegraph line doing an early EIS, I guess you'd call it, or a biological survey. He's not generally remembered as a terrestrial guy. We think of Doll's porpoise, and he was a clam snail and marine guy primarily. But he was doing this work. The name has stuck, and it's come and gone, and some would rather it be the correct Doll's gasp sheep, or we call them doll sheep like all the rest of us have. Fannin sheep are classified as about any sheep with a black hair or two that you can identify. There are, there's a color gradation. Interestingly, doll sheep fetuses, when they're in the womb, aren't white. They're marked like bighorns or stone sheep or Kamchatka sheep. They have a white rump and dark stockings and so on and so forth. When you have more than a few black hairs in a doll sheep, it's okay to call it a Fannin sheep. So, and there are plenty of sheep around Alaska with a few black hairs.
Is a Fannin sheep a cross between a doll and a stone?
I don't think anybody knows that. They seem to be a color gradation.
Yeah.
But, there have been plenty of dark doll sheep.
And the areas down, you know, along the border, Kennecott area.
Usually we think of Fannin sheep as being extension of the Brooks Range over toward Canada,
mm-hmm.
or the White Mountains sometimes over toward Canada. There, we tend to think of them as a little more northerly. And a lot of the blame or the credit for that goes to an early adventurer and hunter named Charles Sheldon, who wrote about his exploits in yeah. Denali Park and the upper yeah. Yukon and so on and so forth.
How did the Fannin sheep get their name?
Gosh, I knew that a minute ago. there were, I think the guy they were named after was the deputy prime minister of Canada way back. And why that would translate to calling a sheep after him, I don't know.
Maybe they were trying to put it on a donkey and they said, no, we better not do that.
Maybe.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Take a break from your holiday shopping and enjoy something delicious at your personal Oasis. Instead of grabbing for the last toy on the shelf, do what Santa does. Grab the last French fry or onion ring on the plate. Happy holidays from your friends at the Oasis Restaurant and Lounge, 734 University Avenue.
It really is the most wonderful time of the year. Homestead Pumping and Thawing wants to wish you happy holidays and hopes you receive one blessing after another this upcoming year. Happy holidays from Homestead Pumping and Thawing.
With the kids jingling.
If you want to take charge of your health and enjoy lunch while you're at it, join the Greater Fairbanks Community Hospital Foundation for Lunch and Learn. Come to Raven Landing on December 3rd at 11:30 a.m. for a fresh look at team-based care, a modern approach where your doctor, nurse, pharmacist, and other specialists work together to support your health, improve communication, and make care more convenient for you. It's a great opportunity to discover how a coordinated care team can help you stay healthier. December 3rd at 11:30 a.m. at Raven Landing. We'll see you there.
When it's Alaska cold, wrap yourself in the ones you love in fur from the Fur Factory. Shop the Fur Factory for the perfect holiday gift. Naturally, warm, beautiful furs are as practical today as ever. Receive special savings on fur coats, mukluks, mittens, and hats. See Alaskan beaded slippers and gloves by local artisans as well. The Fur Factory's family furriers craft heirloom quality garments you'll treasure for years. Ethically and sustainably harvested, visit the Fur Factory, 547 2nd Avenue in Fairbanks.
Hi, this is Kevin, owner of Thermalite Glass Manufacturing here at Fairbanks. Please don't let an inefficient, foggy house window ruin your view this summer or steal your heat in the winter, especially if you're a do-it-yourselfer looking to save money. Thermalite sells locally manufactured double and triple pane glass units to contractors as well as homeowners. There's options for full service all the way to doing the whole job yourself with folks here ready to assist. Stop by our plant on 1225 Wells Street or call 457-2089 to get started.
KFAR Weather.
A winter weather advisory continues. Cloudy this afternoon with a mixture of freezing rain and snow likely. High of 26. Northerly winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy again tonight. Mixed precipitation likely, changing to all snow. Lows around 15. 2 to 4 inches of snow today through tomorrow night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back in the studio here with Jen Uhas and Wayne. What the heck? Heimer. Dr. Heimer.
Wayne, what the heck, Heimer? That's going to stick.
Dr. Heimer. So, I just so enjoy this casting disparaging remarks your way because... You're so gracious in taking them, whereas Jen would just beat the crap out of me on the air and everyone would hear it.
No, I mean, you characterize it that way, but I saw a really good meme online the other day. A dad was really proud of his daughter because he overheard her on the playground saying, "I'm not mean. You're just not used to girls who stand up for themselves."
There you go. So standing up for yourself, Jen, let's go through your calendar events that's coming up.
So, you know, we're at the Wood Bison Reintroduction Working Group over there at the Westmark today. But on the 11th, there's going to be a local talk by the biologists. If you want all the updates on that, just Google, look on Facebook, go to the Fish and Game website for news, and you'll see some of the local events. But there's going to be a couple of updates for the Wildlife Wednesdays. Then there's some educational classes. You know, look at the Becoming an Outdoors Woman, but they're open to anybody, and Alaskans Afield, because there's some educational classes. Congratulations to the 20-plus ladies who completed their Hunter Safety Ed 2 weeks ago through that program. And then check the cabin rentals for the interior on the DNR website for your outdoor activities. The reservations are paused right now from the 1st to the 7th, but get ready to get ready, set, reserve as soon as they open.
12:01 p.m.
Right?
Yeah.
A.M.
A.M. on December 8th. Yeah.
And then locally, even though we're here to talk about, you know, fish and wildlife, hunting, fishing, trapping issues, the legislators locally are going to have an open house town hall on December 8th, starting at 5 p.m. over at the Legislative Information Office over in the Global Credit Union Bank building on the third floor. So they'll have that conference room open. That's going to be your local opportunity to go tell all the legislators at once. You know, they're all having their little constituent coffees and things. Definitely go talk to your individual legislators, but go to that town hall and tell them what's important and give them some marching orders before they go down to Juneau in January. That's what that meeting's for. And, you know, if you don't show up and tell them, they won't know. They will listen to people who have different priorities than you do.
There you go. Once a month we get together, and once a month I ask the same question. It's December. Jen, what's your recommendation for people doing things outdoors in the month of December?
Oh, recommendation.
Yep.
So recommendation, I guess, would be get out and get some birds. It's, you know, and now you can go on some skis. You can ski along with your dog. My big thing really is I'm headed to Memphis next week for a Congressional Sportsman's Foundation meeting. And then on our outdoor things, you know, what we get to pick, there's a whole bunch of choices. But I always hang with the trappers. So I'm interested in learning some more trapping techniques down in Memphis next week.
So we don't have to be afraid of the taste of those birds if we understand rosemary, vermouth, and mushrooms.
And a crock pot.
Yeah. Okay. It has to be the sweet vermouth. You know, the dry is for the martinis, the sweet is for the cooking.
Yep. And Dr. Heimer, what's your recommendation for the month of December?
I think it's probably must be time to be getting the snow machine ready. We haven't really had much going on, much opportunity. But if you're like me and you have put off maintenance and restoration and things like that, which is important for my old machines, now would be a good time to do that, because eventually you will want to ride them.
My recommendation would be on about December 15th through the 20th, go to the Fairbanks North Star Borough website and go to their Parks and Recreation Department, because they have the Winter Trail Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And they give 10 different trails, and if you get all of them, you get a patch that you completed the Winter Trail Challenge. And that'd be something neat to do and start something to look at. It gets you outside. You do something in December, a couple in January, February, March, and try and kick off a few of them. There's outdoor skiing, trapping style aspects, lakes.
I love that recommendation,
yeah.
David, because, you know, we talk about how dark and cold it is up here, but coming from southeast where it's always overcast, you know, we have that window. If you've got a flexible schedule, use your lunch break. Get out to Kramer's on your lunch break.
Yeah.
Do something and get some of that light.
That is the smartest man in the room, but you're exactly right. Fairbanks, we're going to take a phone call here. You ready? Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hey, this is Tom Kennedy.
Mr. Kennedy, how are you doing today, sir?
Very good. It was a really good show. Some folks were asking about how traditional Dene people hunted sheep and managed sheep, but there's a lot of historical evidence going way back to, you know, like the 1900s, that they would have selective herds, that they would hunt certain herds during certain years. So they would kind of rotate the panels of mountains that they would
hunt.
And the other thing is, a lot of times they would hunt with bows and arrows by hand. So they weren't using caribou fences and things like that where, you know, it's a massive, more massive harvest. You know, there's moose fences and caribou fences in a lot of different areas that still exist. And rather than driving the whole herds into areas and harvesting them en masse, they would kind of take them one by one. They wouldn't, you know, just take old rams. They would take, like, any sheep. But they would kind of go up into a panel and hunt them with bow and arrow. And that goes all the way back. Gene Henry was an elder in Dot Lake, and he used to talk about doing that when he was a kid. Now, he died probably maybe 15 years ago, but he was in his 90s, and he used to hunt with bows and arrows, you know, the old traditional way. So it's kind of interesting. They did kind of selectively have several methods of conservation that kind of limited their take of dolls, even though dolls are very important, not only to their diet, but to their clothing and other things.
You should come on and do a whole segment.
Anyway, I'll let you guys go.
You wimp. Oh, he's been on the show for them with me before, though. So what the heck? Okay. Mr. Heimer, you're the sheep expert. What do you think?
Well, you know, if I lived in Dalles in Dot Lake, and if I wanted to take Dalles sheep, and if I knew the country, what I would do if I wanted to shoot sheep is I would go up to the Sheep Creek Mineral Lick,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, sheep come, and when they come there to eat dirt, which I have made up a story for why they would do that, but they are very intent on what they're doing. You know, I have, you know, you can, if you're a little polite, you kind of know them. You can walk among them. I have pretended to lick salt off the same salt block as 40 sheep just standing around with
you. You know, that's a visual I cannot get rid of now. Thank you very
right?
much, Dr. Heimer.
Well, I didn't really lick the block. I just faked it. But, you know, they're
Woo, okay, I'm good.
They're pretty intent on what they're doing. If I were trying to take sheep with a primitive bow and arrow, I would go someplace where I could get close to them, and they wouldn't care too much whether I was there. That Sheep Creek Mineral Lick is not a long ways from Dot Lake. It would be an ideal place to do that.
There you go. Hmm. Well,
maybe it happens all over, but if I were doing it, I would go where it's easiest.
Jen, what are you going to be doing in Nashville?
So I'll be in Nashville in February for SCI, but I'll be down in Memphis, and we're staying right next to Graceland, so I'll be seeing
Ooh.
That. But we're having a Congressional Sportsmen's Foundation meeting down there with the other states and the caucuses.
You don't hate Nashville, do you?
I do not hate Nashville. I'm going to be there in February.
Well, you miss Mr. Barrett today because he's at the Board of Game. And how do you think he's doing?
I suspect he's frustrated. He often is. Mm-hmm. Al has a perspective that is unique and well-developed. And
I.e. he's always right.
Well, he often is right. He knows often. He knows his stuff.
Yes, he does.
And many times the folks that are testifying or the other members of the board may not be quite at Al's level on certain things. And I know it frustrates them from time to time.
They don't have sticky note tabs out of their statutes?
No,
it's so funny.
Browse the codified as often as Al has.
I run across these gubernatorial candidates, and I ask them what their resource management, game management policies are going to be, and they'll start saying something. And I say, no, stop. Go visit the Laundry House Gang. They're going to tell you what they are, and you're just going to adopt them.
Yeah. Well, it starts with the definition of management. I think we've finally worked one out.
There you go. Well, Fairbanks, that is our show for today. And I'm gone tomorrow. I'm down in Anchorage. Got Alaska Housing Finance Corporation board meeting that I'll be attending and doing all that fun stuff. So Mike Prox will be operating in my stead. Ms. Uhas, Mr. Heimer, thank you both very much for being here. We had a great day. Fairbanks, you have a good day, and I'll see you on Friday.